Welcome. You're listening to the Ultimate Questions Podcast with apologist John Topping. Bite-sized apologetics to discover the believability of Christianity.
Hello, I'm John Topping, and welcome to the Ultimate Questions Podcast. This podcast is brought to you in association with Culture at a Crossroads, which is a new podcast hosted by David Mann from Life 100.3. His goal is to help navigate different cultural challenges and how we can engage with those around us on these pertinent issues. So far, he has had people on like Humboldt Broncos head coach Scott Barney, Ontario leader of the Green Party Mike Schreiner, and Life founder Scott Jackson. You can check out his podcast on all platforms or by going to davidmanmedia.com. In the past episodes of the Ultimate Questions podcast, we've been looking at the reliability of the New Testament by learning about eyewitness testimonies, details and specifics, and manuscript evidence. Before we continue doing that, I thought we'd take a few episodes to evaluate how exactly we should go about reading the Bible. That might seem strange to some, but for many, it's a much needed component. I was a youth pastor for a few years, and I had different students that genuinely wanted to read the Bible and found it quite difficult. It wasn't just that reading itself is hard, although literacy rates and reading ability are going down among students. It was more that the Bible itself is harder to read than your average book. For many people, the only books they read are fiction for the purpose of entertainment. To go from modern fiction to an ancient book of religion and history originally written in a completely foreign language and culture, that can be quite a task. The books of the Bible aren't for entertainment. Some of them involve long lists of names, or large sections of laws, or detailed specifics that seem irrelevant. The other difficulty is that since these books in the Bible were written so long ago and in different parts of the world, a lot of the content within the books don't make much sense to us because we're thousands of years removed from the culture. All these things can make it quite difficult to just sit down and read the Bible. Hopefully, in the next few episodes, I can help you be able to have an easier time reading Scripture and also get you studying the Bible so that you can grow in your understanding. I have a few little tips for reading the Bible. Some of these might help some of you, and other tips you might not want to try, so this is just some advice that you can take or leave. A first tip, if you want to go a bit easier at your attempt to just get started reading the Bible, is to deliberately read things that will be helpful. So for example, if you just want to get started having a devotional time each day, then plugging through Leviticus and Numbers is not going to be helpful because you're going to give up, which happens quite often because these books are near the beginning of the Bible. When I get a random person approaching me and asking me what they should do if they want to read the Bible, I tell them that they should start by reading the book of Luke and then Acts. One nice thing about doing something simple like that is that it's an accomplishable goal that won't take very long and won't be that difficult. Both Luke and Acts are mostly historical narrative, meaning it's just telling you stories for the most part. Another good thing about that is, by reading a gospel like Luke, you get the story of Jesus, which is obviously important to Christianity. Then, reading through Acts helps you see how Christianity started and how the early church went about being Christians and sharing their faith, which should be encouraging to you and help you know what Christianity should look like for you. A second tip, if you want to just sit down and read the whole Bible from beginning to end, having a reading time each day, then there's an easy method to get through the entire Bible in a year. If you read 3 chapters on weekdays and 4 chapters each on Saturday and Sunday, you'll be done in a bit before a year is up. I've done this about 7 or 8 times now, and there's a few really nice aspects to this. One is that you actually read the entire Bible, so you know what's in it. The other is that by reading the entire Bible through multiple times, you start to be able to appreciate the general flow of events, people, places, theology, and how God has interacted with humanity. Even if you do a rigorous Bible study every day, this aspect can still be missed, so it's good to read through the entire Bible. A third tip gets more into actually studying the Bible. Most churches will have study groups. Sometimes these are weekly Sunday school lesson times led by one of the pastors. Other times it will be a small group that meets every week. Many churches have these special groups that will meet for about 8 weeks or so, little special groups that they have on the side, and they will focus on a specific book of the Bible or something similar. So the easy thing here is that these people, regardless of the situation, have done all of the work for you already, and all you have to do is show up and take part. So find out what your church offers, and if they don't have something like that, then find another church in your area that does. It shouldn't be hard at all to find a group of people doing some kind of Bible study. And it can not only be a great way for you to read and study the Bible, but it can also end up being a great source of encouragement to you in your faith, and can end up bringing you some really good positive influences and friendships. As an example, I once attended a small group that focused on the book of Daniel. We all read a short commentary on Daniel, where we would read a chapter of the book each week and then read the relevant sections of Daniel, and then we would meet together for a small group time. This only lasted a couple of months, but it really helped me appreciate and understand the book of Daniel, which is a very interesting and, at times, difficult book of the Bible. As another example, I was part of a small group during my teenage years where there were just a group of us that got together, read a bit of the Bible, and discussed it. Even if you don't have anything to say about what we're reading, or even if it goes over your head, someone else likely has something to say, and it can help you engage with the text and get more out of the Bible reading for you. This group ended up going on for years and was quite crucial to all of our faith journeys, and those people became my best friends for years to come. So I am a strong supporter of doing Bible studies with one another for many different reasons, the main one being that it will help you read and study the Bible in a better way. Now, studying the Bible is quite different from just reading the Bible. This is where things get a bit more difficult, but also where things become far more interesting and meaningful. Studying can seem daunting because you don't really know where to begin or what to do, and you feel like you're out of your element being asked to do something that only the professionals should know how to do. However, in the next couple of episodes of the podcast, I'll be helping you navigate how to study the Bible so that this area of reading scripture can become a possibility for you. A person doesn't need to be a professional theologian in order to engage in study. In fact, I'd argue that every Christian should study scripture at some level. To begin studying the Bible, in order to get everything you can out of it, it's always a good idea to have additional materials to look at as well. While you definitely can just pick up a Bible and read it, it will likely be difficult simply because, as I stated earlier in the podcast, we're just so far removed from the culture of the text. Thankfully, there have been people writing about the Bible for literally thousands of years. During your studies, if you keep a good commentary with you for the book of the Bible you're currently reading, that can be quite helpful. That way, you can read a chapter of the Bible and then read the relevant associated section of the commentary, and you'll get a great deal more out of your reading. If that seems daunting, even just having a study Bible can help. Here, you would read the chapter of the Bible that you're studying, and while you're reading that, read the additional comments that come up. Typically, a study Bible will have a little letter or number that pops up in the main text of the verse you're reading, and then on the side or at the bottom, it will have that number again with a comment about that verse. Reading these commentaries can help you understand the text a lot more. Now, while I'm talking about commentaries, it's definitely wise to get a good commentary. There are loads of people out there writing about the Bible. Some of them are good scholars, others are just not well done, and still others are so bent on proving their theological hobby horse that they end up distorting the text. There are also people writing about the Bible that are involved in cults, New Age, and even people who don't even believe in God. So it's wise to find some scholars that are trustworthy and then use their commentaries. I would strongly recommend against choosing the writing of someone merely because they make you feel good or that you feel encouraged after listening to them. There are many people out there that will tell the masses what they want to hear. Your goal should not be to be coddled, but instead to find truth. In order to find good theologians that you can trust, you can try asking your pastor or your more theologically inclined friends. You can also just Google the person, and in your search, try to find people who disagree with them. If you find a lot of people giving very strong arguments and cases against a theologian, you're probably best to steer clear from them. An additional resource that can be incredibly helpful, especially for things we'll be going into in this podcast in the next couple of episodes, is a Bible dictionary. If you're new to this idea, it might seem strange that there are whole dictionaries dedicated to just the Bible, and it probably seems like a super boring read. I mean, who just sits down and actually reads the dictionary? A Bible dictionary is quite different, though. Yes, it has words in it that you look up, but instead of just telling you the definition of a certain word, it will have words that are important to the different biblical texts, and it will give you a lot of historical background, verses to cross-reference, and theological points to consider. So, for example, if you're reading 1 Corinthians, look up Corinth in the Bible Dictionary, and it will give you tons of information about the ancient city that the letter of 1 Corinthians was written to. When reading the book with this information in mind, a lot of new things will stand out to you, and the whole letter will make a lot more sense. A really great Bible dictionary I recommend is the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary. I use this quite often in my study of Scripture. Basically, anytime I preach a sermon, I use this. A last tip I'll give you is that you should try to get involved in your church. I know this might seem like a random point and unrelated to the study of the Bible, but helping out in your church in a teaching capacity can really improve your study of God's Word. Any good pastor in a church will want to help you glorify God, dive into His Word, and encourage the rest of the church. If you start diving into studying the Bible, even as a layperson, perhaps you could help out by teaching the Bible study 1 week, once you've really got a good grasp of something you've been studying in the Bible. Maybe you could lead the youth group lesson portion now and then. Some of you might even be able to start up your own small group where you could be the leader each week. Firstly, I can guarantee you that if you do these sorts of things, you will grow immensely in your understanding of the Bible. Secondly, you'll be glorifying God with your actions more, which ultimately is a huge part of the purpose of life. And lastly, you can bet that this will be incredibly fulfilling for you to do. I've had the opportunity to do this on many occasions, and it's always been an incredible joy. I even had opportunities to do this before I went to school for these matters. In fact, getting involved in teaching ministry is what made me want to do further studies in the first place. I think I was only about 20 when I gave my first sermon at a youth group. So it's definitely within everybody's capabilities, I would think. Once you get started in your studying of the Bible, if you have a chat with a pastor at your church, I bet they'll be thrilled to help you get involved in some capacity. I know all of what I said can seem very overwhelming because you're entering into a new domain. If you've never really gotten into studying the Bible before, it can seem like a lot. But for now, if you're just getting started, just try reading one of the Gospels, like Luke or John, using a study Bible, and reading the additional comments as they come up. That alone will set you on the right path. If you're interested in diving deeper into your Bible studies, a little book that can help you get started in how to approach this task is called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. This book helps you appreciate how to approach each genre in the Bible to get the most out of it, even if you've never done any studying of the Bible before, so it's quite helpful. Another really great resource that is quite accessible and free is by a YouTube channel called The Bible Project. They did a series on how to read the Bible and have a lot of other great videos. If you've never checked out any of their stuff, definitely check them out. Now, this episode has been more about giving practical little tidbits of advice for getting started reading the Bible. Moving forward in the next couple of podcasts, we're going to be looking at the actual process of understanding what you read in the Bible. This process of understanding Scripture is often called by the terms exegesis and hermeneutics. These are just fancy words for interpreting and understanding ancient texts, like the Bible. The goal in this process is for us to understand what the original author was trying to convey when he wrote the book of the Bible we're studying. Also, how would the original audience have received this book? By having this idea in the forefront of our minds, we will already be better at interpretation, so we'll look at how to do that. In order to really understand what the author intended and what the audience would have understood, the really important thing to grasp is the context of the book, of the passage that we're reading. If you've ever sat under the teaching of a good Bible teacher, it actually becomes almost comedic at times how often the teacher refers to context, but it really is just that important. If you don't understand the context of a passage, you have a pretty good chance of missing the point of that passage. There are many famously, or perhaps infamously, bad interpretations of Scripture that get passed around simply because people rip one verse out of the Bible and read it out of context. Just as a quick, silly example of this, imagine in 1,000 years the expression cool is no longer commonplace. Imagine someone reading one of our popular books or watching one of the current movies out today and having a hard time following in different places simply because they can't understand why the people keep talking about the low temperature of things by calling them cool. It would help them to understand our context that cool is an expression to mean that something is good, acceptable, neat, hip, etc. If they don't understand that, they will have a hard time understanding. This is definitely true when we read the Bible, which is why studying the context is crucial to understanding what we read in Scripture. As an example of one of the badly interpreted passages, take the verse of Proverbs 22:6. This is a very famous passage which reads, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." This verse has been used quite widely in the sense where Christian parents interpret it to mean that if they raise their kids Christian, they will remain Christians when they're older. This has been an encouraging interpretation to some and devastating to many others. After all, we know that there are many young adults that leave the faith during their college and university years. Many parents have ended up blaming themselves because, since their kids left the faith, they must not have trained up their child in the way they should go. So all the blame falls on the parents. However, when understood, this passage in its literary context, we see that this was a proverb, meaning a helpful piece of advice. It's not a promise in the same way that other portions of Scripture are promises. As an example, just a couple of verses earlier in that same chapter, we read in verse 4, "The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life." However, we know that there have been countless humble people who have feared the Lord and yet have lived in poverty. When understanding the literary context of Proverbs as a genre, it can really help us understand the point of this verse. It's not that raising up a child guarantees that they won't ever turn from your instruction. After all, each person is free to make their own decisions. Instead, this passage is telling us of the importance of raising our kids well and teaching them how to live life properly. That's still very important and good advice, even if it's not a promise. Simply understanding the genre here can help you tremendously, and there's quite a few important things like this that we'll go through. That's just a quick little example, and we'll be doing more of this sort of thing, and I'll hopefully be able to help you do this on your own. So in the next couple of podcasts, we're going to be looking at the historical context and literary context in order to help illuminate Scripture. So I hope you'll join me next time as we dive into studying the context of Scripture here on the Ultimate Questions Podcast from Power to Change Students.